Anya spent the next several hours digging her way through piles of dirt and rock. She found nothing for her efforts except chunks of coal, pyrite, and granite. Twice, she had tried to use her inner sense to see if she could detect the presence of any relics. Each time, the conclusion had been the same: nothing. As far as she was concerned, this was becoming more and more of a ghost chase than an actual scientific exploration. She hadn't seen any more of the rest of the scientists either, which struck her as equally odd. When she had mentioned this fact to Zack and Dave, neither of them seemed particularly interested. Finally, after another lunch of MREs and another hour of digging, Anya decided to call it a day.
I need to go and get cleaned up before I see Thompson.
Make sure you wear your Sunday best.
Oh, and some perfume. Guy's a sucker for a hot chick.
Wow. You guys just advanced the cause of women's equality at least 100 years.
You want the report, right?
Sure. Thanks for the tip. I'll be sure to remember that later when I'm putting on my thermal lace underwear.
Hey, I'm trying to work here. Don't go carbonizing my hormones with images of that stuff, okay?
Sorry. See you guys at dinner.
Anya walked back up the slope toward the entrance of the dig site, mulling over what she knew. In many ways, she felt like slave labor. Colonel Thompson had basically told her that they were trapped there for the winter, and that digging for more relics was on the agenda every day. That seemed vaguely fanatical to Anya. She was convinced there weren't any more to be found, and she was intensely curious as to whether the ones already found were of any special importance anyway. At the tunnel fork, she started heading back toward the surface, but stopped. What was down the other fork? She realized she'd never seen anyone venture down there. Anya paused and took a step toward the other branch. Were the other members of the research team digging down there at another site? Were there other relics down there? And if so, why were Dave, Zack, and Anya wasting their time back at the other cavern? Or was it something else entirely? Perhaps, as Colonel Thompson had said, there was more going on here than Anya was allowed to know about. The problem was, she wanted to know about it. All of it. Anya took another step down the tunnel and then kept walking. They hadn't strung lights along the roof of the tunnel as they had on the other side. Why keep it so dark? Anya felt her way along, making sure she lifted her feet and didn't trip. She walked another 30 yards. Anya could see better now as some light spilled out of what must have been another large cavern. She crept around the corner, and then her eyes blinked in the sudden light. In front of her, she could see the other members of the research team. Each of them worked in a section of the cavern. Anya could see a wall of rock in front of them. In key places, small cylindrical holes had been bored deep into the rock. Boring. She watched as another member of the team finished clearing out the holes, using a long pole to determine the depth of the hole. He seemed satisfied, got up, and walked across the cavern to a metallic footlocker. Anya frowned. The scientist reached into the footlocker and removed something. Anya watched him walk back to the hole he'd just finished and slide something down inside it. When the scientist ran wires back out of the hole, she knew what was happening. Blasting. They were getting ready to demolish a whole section of the mountain. But if they did that, then wouldn't the section where Zack and Dave were working cave in? Anya looked at the rest of the research team members. Each one of them seemed to have been assigned a different section of this particular cavern. And each one had his own hole to bore out and then plug with explosives. Once that was done, they ran the wires back out the hole. Anya assumed they would all run to a master detonator switch. Once they were properly wired, they could run the wire back out of the dig site and explode the charges. Horlick Mountain might just fall apart at that point. Whatever was happening, this was far too dangerous not to let Zack and Dave know about it. They might be killed if those charges went off unexpectedly. Why hadn't they been told? Why had Colonel Thompson been content to let them continue digging if he knew another team was getting ready to blow up the mountain? Anya gritted her teeth. She tried to sell herself on the idea that maybe the charges aren't all that big. Maybe they're doing a controlled explosion to open up part of that cavern. After all, she'd seen it was a rock face they were boring into. Maybe they were stymied by the rock and needed to get through it. Still, Dave and Zack had to be warned. Any type of blasting could be extremely dangerous, especially in an environment like this. She moved back down the tunnel toward the fork. If she told Dave and Zack, and it turned out they knew about it, then all was well and good. But if they had known about it, why hadn't they mentioned it to her? She frowned. Maybe they hadn't wanted to give her something else to think about. They thought Anya had been acting a little weird about the whole report thing. She returned to the fork. The cavern behind her seemed far away, and as she walked, she realized it might be possible to do a controlled blast without damage to the other cavern. But she still didn't like it. Lost in thought, her foot caught on an edge of stone. Her head smacked against the rocky ground. She felt darkness rushing at her as she lost consciousness. Indescribable throbbing pain made Anya squinch her eyes shut.
God, this sucks.
Well, well, look who decided to come back to the land of the living.
Anya opened her eyes and instantly regretted it. The light was bright and it hurt her head.
Oh, lights.
Huh? Oh, sorry about that.
She felt the lights dim and then opened her eyes again. She was in her shelter and there was a bandage around her head. Zack's face swam into view.
What happened?
You fell in the tunnel and smacked your head on the floor. You've been unconscious for a while.
Anya felt as if her stomach were rolling on a stormy ocean, and she tried to swallow to settle it.
Oh my God.
Nauseous?
Yeah, bad.
They said that would be the end result. It should pass pretty soon. They want you to rest, but I told them that there was no way you'd do that. You want to tell me what you were doing?
Do you know about the other cavern?
Where the other part of the team is? Sure.
You know what they've been doing down there?
I've been kind of busy in our little rat hole. I've heard a few things, but nothing much. Why?
I saw them, Zack. They were boring holes and putting explosives into them. I think they want to blow up the mountain.
Oh, that. I heard they ran into a serious problem with the granite. One of them requested permission to blow an entrance. Apparently, they've got some type of scanning equipment that tells them there's a cavern on the other side of that wall. They want to get through.
But isn't it dangerous?
Well, sure, they're explosives after all, but it's being controlled. The colonel has some of his guys helping out.
Anya winced. Everything hurt. She was sure she'd hurt other parts of her body as well as her head.
When are they blasting?
Tomorrow morning, first thing, before anyone goes down.
Oh.
Let me guess. You thought it was some grand conspiracy that would end up killing Dave and me.
Guilty.
Why did you get so conspiracy crazy? I don't think I've ever seen you like this. It's kind of weird.
Let's just say that I've run into a lot of people lately who haven't been what they say they are.
Everyone has secrets. That doesn't make them assassins or spooks or some shadowy government outfit bent on world domination.
You're right. I've been off base.
Tomorrow should be a good day. Once that blasting is done, we might get a glimpse at something new and exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Look, I'm gonna get some grub. You want me to bring you anything back? I hear it's lasagna night.
Anya paled and held up her hand.
I'm not sure I could stomach it right now, but thanks.
Okay. Dave and I'll be back later. Get some rest. I'll let the colonel know you're all right. He seemed concerned about you earlier when he heard about your fall. Guess he respects you a little bit more after your back and forth earlier. I get the feeling he might just show you that report after all.
Even without the perfume?
Yeah, even without. Talk to you in a little while.
Zack disappeared outside. Anya watched him go. Her head throbbed. She pulled her covers up to her chin and closed her eyes. There'd be time to deal with Thompson in the morning.
Sergeant, are you quite certain?
Yes, sir. We got confirmation mid-afternoon today of the security compromise.
Colonel Thompson frowned at the soldier before him.
And you're certain it involved our communications network?
Without a doubt, sir. The initial hacker intrusion occurred on our Navstar satellite, which, as you know, is in a geosynchronous orbit that takes it into our area of operations throughout the day, except for the blackout periods.
How on earth did a hacker know we were even operating down here? It's not like we advertised our presence.
I don't know, sir. It could have come from another source when we moved through McMurdo. That's the problem with having to filter through there. There are a lot of people around, and one of them might have mentioned our presence to someone else, who then took it upon themselves to hack into the system.
But it's not that easy, is it?
Sir, nowadays these kids can type a few words into a search engine and come up with our satellite networks, corresponding protocols, and all that stuff. Frankly, I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner.
Thompson frowned and glanced at Garin, where he stood at his side.
Major, what do you make of all this stuff? Is it a serious compromise? Should I be concerned?
I'm not sure yet, sir. I think we need to ascertain the extent of the compromise before we start passing judgments.
Agreed.
Thompson looked back at the sergeant. The man looked uncomfortable.
So, where did the hacker tap into us from?
Well, that's the problem, sir.
Problem?
I'm sorry, sir, but they used a sophisticated routing program that led our intercept teams all over the world. Mumbai, Tokyo, Wellington even.
Wellington? You think it could be a compromise coming from New Zealand? If that's the case, it would make for a very bad diplomatic situation.
I don't know that I believe it did come from New Zealand, sir. I think the hacker just wanted to make it look that way, but he wasn't on the line long enough for us to do a trace. He must have known we started the intercept program, and at that point, he simply disconnected.
Thompson threw his hands in the air and started pacing.
Great. Just great. So how in the hell am I supposed to accurately judge whether or not this installation is under some sort of threat, or if our information has been pilfered?
The sergeant handed him a sheet of paper.
We were able to figure out what the hacker was after, sir.
Thompson snatched the paper and started reading. After a moment, he glanced at the sergeant.
You're dismissed. Good work.
Thank you, sir.
The sergeant turned and left the shelter. Thompson watched him go, and then turned to Garin, his eyes gleaming.
Well, Major, it seems like someone has gone through an awful lot of trouble to acquire some of my files. One in particular.
Sir?
At least I know who I'm dealing with now.
We don't know for a fact it was Miss Creed, sir.
No, we don't. But I myself have never believed in coincidences.
We should have some more proof before we accuse her, sir. Otherwise, she will make it something of a rallying cry and possibly damage your work here.
Then we'll need to find some proof, won't we?
How, sir?
I have some thoughts on that matter. I must admit I'm a bit surprised she pursued it like this.
She doesn't seem like the kind of woman to take no for an answer.
Apparently not. She should be resting right now, no doubt recovering from the mild concussion she acquired earlier this afternoon.
You want me to go and get her?
Not just yet. I want her alert when she has to answer questions.
Very good.
However, I do want to talk to my administrative aide. Bring him to me, would you?
Garin nodded and left the shelter. Thompson looked down at the paper and saw the name of the file that had been liberated from his computer. It had to be her. Anya Creed had been asking for the report for the past day or so, and suddenly the computers were hacked and that exact file copied from his hard drive and presumably accessed. No, coincidences didn't exist, except as a convenient excuse for people who weren't willing to face facts. Thompson had a mole in his camp, and he aimed to get rid of her through any means necessary. The door to his shelter reopened, and Garin walked in behind a nervous-looking soldier. The corporal marched to the front of the colonel's desk and stood at attention.
Sir!
Stand at ease, corporal.
You want me to go now, sir?
No, actually, I want you to stay and listen to this so we can plan our next move better. Do you know why you're here, son?
No, sir!
Earlier today, this base experienced what can best be described as a hacker intrusion into our secure communications networks. Specifically, our computers were hacked. Mine, in particular.
How's that possible, sir?
Well, now, that's what we want to know. And that's why you're here, son. We've got a few questions for you. And you just answer them honestly, and I don't think we'll have any trouble, understand?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Now, where were you this morning?
After I had breakfast, I reported to work right away. I was sitting in the admin shelter, sir. I had some reports to file and some routine maintenance work to perform, but otherwise, the day was pretty boring, frankly, sir.
Thompson glanced at Garin, who was looking at the corporal.
And did you do anything out of the ordinary while you were there?
No, sir.
What about visitors?
Just one. Anya Creed. She stopped by looking for you, sir.
Me? And what did she want with me?
Said she needed to talk to you about something. I told her you might be at your shelter, and that she could look for you in there.
Very good, son. Did she ask about anything else?
Well, funny thing was, when I got there, she was already there, and she tried to get on
one of the computer terminals. Said she was going to check her email.
Email?
She said she was lonely and hadn't heard from anyone back home in some time. I told her she wouldn't be able to access email while she was here because of our strict comms guidelines and all.
Did she understand that?
Oh, yeah. She took it real well. Seemed concerned that if word got out she was trying to access email on the computers, that she might get in trouble.
Really? And after that, you said you sent her to see me at my shelter?
Yes, sir. I don't know if she ever went out there or not, of course, because by that time I was already back working on what I needed to be working on.
Of course you were. That's why I brought you in here. Because I know what a hard worker you are.
Was that the only visitor you had this morning?
Aside from Miss Creed, there was just you, sir.
You, Major?
I stopped by to see if you were there. Remember, we were supposed to go down to the dig site together, which we eventually did once I found you.
Yes, of course. All right, Corporal. You can go now. But make sure you don't tell anyone about this. What we've shared with you here is classified information, and we don't need anyone finding out about it just yet. When the time comes to make judgments, then everyone can know. But for now...
I understand, sir.
The corporal saluted, turned, and marched out of the shelter. Thompson looked at Garin, who shrugged.
So?
Seems like a few more dots got connected, sir. It's not conclusive by any means, but it's leaning in that direction.
I want more, Major. Find out from the communications people if there have been any calls made from this camp to the outside world.
Phone calls, sir? I wasn't aware there was cell phone coverage in this region.
There isn't, but if someone has a sat phone, they can call out. And if they can call out of here, they can also access the internet. And that might just lead us to our hacker.
I'll get started on it right away, sir.
Garin turned to leave.
Major?
Sir.
Find me something conclusive about this matter. I don't want to drag her in here tomorrow unless we're absolutely sure that she was behind the intrusion. The last thing any of us needs is bad publicity. For that matter, any publicity.
I understand, sir.
Thompson watched him leave, then sat down and leaned back in his seat. The piece of paper on his desk lay there with the file name written in bold letters. How could someone from across the world reach out and get access to the most secure communications networks the United States government could field? Thompson wasn't happy about the idea that a complete nobody could penetrate the secrecy of this mission. Given what was going on, he needed an absolute quarantine on all communications unless he approved them. Yes, that was the answer. He got up and pulled on his parka and hood before heading out into the snowy night. The wind stung his cheeks and he trudged toward the admin shelter. At the entrance, he pulled the door open and stomped inside. The young corporal was still there, typing up a report. He snapped to attention.
At ease. I need you to do something for me, Corporal.
Yes, sir?
Because of the communications breach earlier today, I'm suspending any communications out of the camp, unless they are routed through me first.
Sir?
Yes, Corporal, you heard correctly. We're going dark.
Anya's head felt a lot better when she woke up the next morning. Concussions, she'd found, were never the same twice. And after more than her share of them, she was of the opinion that enduring them was probably the least favorite aspect of her life. Sitting up, Anya was prepared for the head rush, but had none. She smiled. Maybe her head was getting harder after all the knocks it had taken. She glanced around the shelter, but Dave and Zack were still snoozing away in the dawn darkness. Anya rolled out of bed and checked herself over. She felt a little weak, but chalked that up to the fact that she hadn't had much to eat or drink in the past 24 hours. She needed to get herself topped off with food and drink, and then she'd be able to face the day. She dressed quickly and wandered over to the mess hall. The cook was alone behind the counter and smiled as she came in.
What can I get you?
Am I the first one here?
Early bird catches the worm. I hear there were some serious talks going on last night into the wee hours. Probably folks are sleeping in a few extra minutes.
Can I get a ham and cheese omelet?
Sure thing. It's powdered eggs, though. We're out of fresh until we get a resupply.
That's fine.
Anya leaned against the makeshift counter.
How often do you get resupplied?
Well, up until the winter started, I would have said every week. But seeing how we only just arrived a few short days ago and the weather's already making it tough on us, I'd say we have about 2 more days on what we've got before we have to pack up and move on back to McMurdo.
2 days?
Uh-huh.
The cook stirred the powdered eggs with water and then whisked the mix in a bowl before pouring it into a hot griddle.
Will you all be bunking back in McMurdo until the weather clears then?
Don't know. I imagine so, but you never can tell with the colonel. He's got this way of planning things out so no one else knows what the deal is but him.
Has he always been like that?
Again, I don't know. I've only been in this unit for a month or so, ever since the last guy I put in to get his separation papers. He wanted to start his own restaurant, I think I heard the colonel say. Anyway, he tapped me and said to come on over. He's a real food lover, the colonel is. It always makes it nicer to be cooking for someone who loves to eat.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
The cook slid a spatula under the eggs and then flipped it over before adding the chopped bit of ham and the strands of grated cheese to the egg. Then he carefully folded it in two and let it cook a few minutes more.
Hey, you don't have any orange juice, do you?
Only from concentrate, but it's the good stuff. Doesn't taste like freezer burn. It's over there. I just made a fresh batch a few minutes before you arrived.
Anya helped herself to a tall glass and poured the orange juice into it. The cook slid her omelet onto a plate and handed it over.
There you go. Enjoy it.
Thanks, I will.
Got some pastries over there on the table. Not bad for doing it myself, but they could use some more work. I have to make do with what I've got.
I'll give them a try.
Anya smiled her thanks and headed over to the long table and sat down. When she bit into the omelet, it tasted exactly as if it had been made with fresh eggs. The cheese melted slowly in her mouth, and with the ham produced a great swirl of flavors. Anya's mouth watered, and she suddenly realized how hungry she was. At least, until Garin showed up. Rather than walk over to the cook, he headed right for Anya's table. He sat down across from her and grinned.
Early breakfast for you today, huh?
In case you didn't hear, I had a rough day yesterday.
I did hear that. How's your head feeling today?
Pretty good, actually. Not 100%, but then again, you never should expect that the day after. Feels sort of like a mild hangover.
Good.
You're up early, too.
I don't sleep all that much, unless I'm coming off one of my flesh benders. After those, I'm exhausted. But it's a good kind of exhausted.
Why am I not surprised?
Garin leaned closer to Anya.
You're in trouble, sweetheart.
First of all, don't call me sweetheart. Secondly, why am I in trouble?
It's not really the wisest thing you've ever done. I mean, did you honestly think they wouldn't find out?
She knew he had to be talking about the hacker work Nightmare had done. Somehow they knew. Somehow they had traced it back to Anya. But how?
I don't know what you're talking about, Garin, and you're interrupting a perfectly good breakfast, I might add.
Thompson wants you hauled in for questioning. He seems mighty upset that someone actually hacked his computer of all the ones here and managed to get access to a specific file.
Anya looked Garin right in the eyes.
How in the world could I possibly manage to pull off something like that? I'm sitting here just like you. I don't have access to the internet. I don't have email. So how could I manage to do that?
I don't know, but you did. And it doesn't help your case that you were poking around the admin shelter yesterday. That kid reported you to the colonel.
It was an innocent occurrence. I went looking to use one of the terminals. Besides, he wasn't supposed to say anything.
Who do you think that kid's more scared of, you or the colonel? Of course he sold you out. God, Anya, don't be so naive.
So why are you telling me all of this? I would have thought you'd enjoy seeing me rotating slowly on a spit.
Contrary to what you might believe about me, Anya, I'm not the enemy here. I'm simply trying to understand what's going on down here, just like you are.
And what have you found out?
Nothing.
Oh, come on. With all your superior cognitive skills, you can't determine what's up? I find that a little hard to believe.
Maybe I just don't trust you.
Fair enough. I don't trust you much either.
So then, why don't you come clean? Tell me about the hacker you hired to do your dirty work. Maybe we can use him again to crack the system. I've got a few questions I'd like answered myself.
Anya drank some of the orange juice. Was Garin really suggesting they team up and work together? She tried to remember the last time she'd done that and not ended up screwed in the process. She couldn't remember any.
There's nothing to tell, Garin. It wasn't me that hacked that computer. Maybe some lonely 14-year-old in Des Moines got lucky and tripped his way onto the network. You know there are kids out there that groove on that stuff.
Adults, too.
Yeah, but not me.
I've never known you to turn down an opportunity to learn something new, even if it means using a questionable method.
I have standards. There are some things I won't do, like torture people.
I find that distasteful.
No doubt. You've always had far more faith in humanity than I have.
True.
Anya finished her omelet and slid the plate away.
Are you going to get any of the food?
Was your omelet good?
Delicious, even with present company included.
What a ringing endorsement. I'll try it.
Garin got up and wandered over to the cook. Anya watched him go and shook her head. Sure, she could always team up with him, but how smart was that? For all she knew, Garin had a wire on, transmitting everything they spoke about. Hell, he'd sell her out faster than the kid in the admin shelter. Anya got up and got herself a pastry. The icing was still warm, and the sweetness of it made her mouth water even more. She was feeling, on the whole, pretty good physically, except for the ever-present ache in her gut. Something bad was going to happen today. She knew this, expected it, and it was all she could do to simply down a decent breakfast and get on with it. Garin returned with his omelet and sat down. After two forkfuls, he nodded.
For the limits of this place, the cook does a very respectable job.
A compliment from you? I'm amazed.
Well, it's not Maison Robert, certainly, but one must adapt one's standards given one's environment.
Indeed.
Anya ate the pastry in silence, occasionally sipping her juice. Garin seemed preoccupied with his breakfast. Anya felt very unsettled. Garin glanced at her.
You feeling all right?
My stomach hurts.
Really?
Yeah.
Garin continued eating. Anya glanced around the mess hall. Everything seemed too quiet. Anya stopped eating her roll and put it down on her plate. Then she wiped her hands calmly on her napkin. Garin watched her.
You're all finished?
I think so, yeah.
Anya leaned back in her seat and got her feet under her. She looked over at Garin, who had slowed down on his chewing. He was watching her closely. Slowly, a smile spread across his face.
Your instincts really have become much more intense since you found the sword.
The sword found me, and what are you playing at right now?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Sorry. Can't be helped, Anya. It's too late to get out of this. Best to just go along with what happens and see where it takes you.
You bastard. You sold me out.
I did no such thing.
You kept me here. You kept me from leaving.
The door flew open, and five armed men rushed in with their weapons drawn. Anya faced them. The automatic rifles would tear her apart if she tried to do anything at all. Garin rose and wiped his mouth on a napkin while Anya stood still. He leaned over till his lips almost touched her ear.
I had to do it.
Then he turned and addressed the men.
Take Miss Creed into custody. She's under military arrest for espionage.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
Anya sat, handcuffed, inside Thompson's personal shelter, surrounded by two armed guards and facing the colonel himself. He'd said nothing for the past 5 minutes, ever since he had arrived shortly after Anya had been detained. Anya wondered where he was during that time, since it certainly seemed as if breakfast had been temporarily put on hold until Anya could be taken into custody. Thompson stared at her hard. He was definitely used to exerting control over a situation, and she suspected he didn't usually get very many people who defied him.
I know this tactic, Colonel. You're trying to make me uncomfortable. You're hoping that I will start babbling about something as a way of filling the silence.
Thompson continued to stare at her.
The truth is, I'm already uncomfortable. Your soldiers applied these handcuffs a little too zealously. They're cutting off circulation to my hands, and if I don't get some relief soon, you'll have to cut them off because I've gotten gangrene.
She saw the colonel barely nod, and then one of the soldiers moved behind her and removed the handcuffs. Anya rubbed her wrists.
Thank you. That's a huge improvement.
Thompson removed a pipe from his desk drawer, packed it with tobacco, and then lit it. He puffed away for several seconds and then leaned back, chomping on the stem.
I thought the military frowned on smoking.
We've got quite a situation here.
I don't see it. I'm not guilty of the charges Major Braden accused me of. Espionage? You've got to be kidding me.
Nevertheless, we had an incident yesterday, and the trail leads back to you, Miss Creed.
What kind of incident?
I believe Major Braden already informed you about it. The hacker intrusion into our secure network system. Someone gained access illegally. They poked about in our computers, and even gained access to a certain highly classified file.
The file that Anya hadn't been able to read yet. She cursed herself inwardly for tripping and knocking herself out. If she hadn't been so clumsy, she could have spent last evening reading it over and convincing Dave and Zack that there was really something odd going on here. Instead, the Colonel had her in a bind. But did he know she hadn't read it yet? Probably not. Anya knew she had to bide her time and hope that he would reveal how much he knew.
What was in the file?
Why, Miss Creed, don't you know? It was the selfsame file that you've been obsessing over.
Oh, the lap analysis.
Miss Creed, do you believe in coincidences?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there have been times in the past when things just sort of hooked up in time and space. No real rhyme or reason to it. Other times, it definitely seemed like it was a deliberate kind of thing, you know?
No, I don't know. What I do believe, however, is that there are no such things as coincidences. None at all. So when a scientist like yourself comes around asking to see a classified file and is told that she won't be given access to it, and then a little later on a hacker infiltrates our supposedly secure system and goes right after that very file, I have to ask myself a question. Are they connected?
Anya tried to grin, but it felt forced.
The answer is no.
Actually, the answer is yes. Most definitely, in fact.
You've got no way of connecting me to any hacker operating on his or her own in the outside world.
You know, as a matter of fact, we do have a way of connecting you. A phone call went out from this very camp yesterday, shortly before the hacker infiltrated our system.
So what? You've got plenty of people with cell phones here, don't you?
Oh, Miss Creed, you don't expect me to believe that you're really stupid enough to suggest that a cell phone would work out in this remote wilderness, do you? I mean, come on now. You used a satellite phone.
Ah, well, I don't have one of those.
Of course you don't. Your gear was searched. However, someone in this camp does have one.
Don't a few people? I mean, in case of an emergency, I'd certainly want a way to reach out for some help.
Satellite phones are banned in this camp. They're compromising to our security.
Really? I'm afraid I don't see how that would happen.
A call made at the right time of day might give the enemy the chance to pinpoint our position. They could discover what it is we're up to down here, and then threaten our security.
Well, what exactly are we up to down here, and who is the enemy?
There's no we anymore, Miss Creed. You are no longer a member of the scientific research team assigned to this unit.
Great. Send me on home, then.
We've already gone over that.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd try again. So where's the big bad evidence you have that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was responsible for yesterday's intrusion?
Colonel Thompson looked beyond her to the soldiers standing behind Anya.
Bring it in.
Anya waited, her heart beating a little faster. Surely they wouldn't have found Dave's phone. Wasn't he one of them anyway? Thompson continued staring at her through the smoky haze. He kept puffing on his pipe, generating more smoke and making Anya extremely uncomfortable. Her eyes hurt from the smoke. The soldier walked over and handed Thompson a satellite phone. It was the exact model that she'd used yesterday to connect to the internet. She couldn't tell if it was really Dave's, but it sure looked like it.
This is the satellite phone you used to make a call to an internet service provider yesterday morning.
I've never seen that before in my life.
We thought for sure you would say that, so we took the liberty of having it dusted for fingerprints. And we took your fingerprints last night while you slept that nasty concussion off.
Anya frowned. She thought her hands had smelled odd this morning, but she'd chalked it up as part of the medical evaluation she'd undergone as a result of her misfortune in the cave.
Did you get a match?
A partial, actually.
Anya wanted to laugh at him. Of course they'd only gotten a partial. Anya had wrapped the sat phone back up the way Dave had hidden it. The friction would have destroyed much of her prints.
Partials aren't enough to convict, Colonel. You're grasping at straws here, and you know it.
But the Colonel seemed unfazed, and Anya's stomach continued to ache. They had Dave's phone, and they might know about her laptop. Was Dave working with them after all, or was he something else entirely?
Are you all right, Miss Creed?
Thompson was looking at her with a renewed sense of interest.
I'm fine.
Forgive me for saying so, but you don't seem fine. In fact, I'd even go so far to suggest that you're feeling a bit nervous right now.
Nonsense.
Could it be that you're wondering what else we have to connect you with yesterday's crime?
I'm wondering how soon I can get out of here and go back to work.
But I've already told you that there will be no more work for you. You're off the team, permanently.
Anya rolled her eyes. Zack was going to kill her.
The time to come clean is now, Miss Creed. If you want to tell me everything about your conspiracy, I might be inclined to be more lenient on you than if you continue to cling to the notion that you are an innocent in all of this.
More lenient?
It's going to be a very long winter. Temperatures, as you know, dip well into the negative 50s at night. All this darkness, this isolation, anything can happen. And if we have no way of getting you back to the authorities at McMurdo, we'll just have to dispense our own justice out here.
So that's it? You're gonna kill me? For allegedly hacking your computer? God, what a hard ass! I mean, what happens if someone steals your lunch around here?
Miss Creed, the compromising of security is a very serious offense. People's lives are at stake here, and hard decisions have to be made regarding the operational security of this establishment. If that means severe punishments for violators, I am granted the authority by virtue of my rank and position within the United States Armed Forces. I take my job very seriously, and the lives of my men depend on that fact. I want to bring them all home alive. That won't be possible if we've got people who insist on sabotaging our efforts.
Well, as I said before, you've got the wrong woman. I'm not guilty of hacking your system. I don't care if you've got a partial print match or not. It wasn't me.
The colonel smiled and then leaned forward again.
So that's it, then. You're going to insist that you're innocent?
Absolutely.
Very well. You leave me no choice.
Thompson nodded at the soldiers.
Do it.
The doors behind her opened, blowing a fresh stream of frigid air into the shelter. Fortunately, it cleared out some of the smoke. Anya looked up as Garin walked in. Thompson smiled.
Major Brayden, you have something for me?
Yes, sir.
Anya saw the movement and then looked as Garin slid Anya's laptop computer onto the colonel's desk. Colonel Thompson looked at Anya.
This, I believe, is yours.
Anya's laptop sat on Thompson's desk, looking vulnerable. Thompson stared at Anya, as if expecting she might break down and cry.
That's my personal property.
You're upset, as you should be. After all, one has certain expectations when it comes to private property, be it actual physical or more in the realm of, shall we say, intellectual property.
Anya wanted to kill Garin for betraying her like this. He'd already stymied her earlier, and now he'd sealed her fate by giving her laptop to Thompson.
Not going to say anything. Have I finally got you to the point where you realize how futile it is to keep insisting that you had nothing to do with yesterday's intrusion?
You took my laptop, so what?
Thompson gestured to one of the armed guards.
Open it.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Why not?
In the short time you've known me, do I really strike you as being foolish enough to leave my laptop unprotected?
What, you've got a password?
Nothing so pedestrian as that. I took some more, shall we say, extreme methods to ensure its protection.
And I should believe you why. I'm not sure you've told us anything even remotely truthful since you've got here.
You don't have to believe me. In fact, go ahead and open it. See if I care. All I ask is that you move me away from it when you do it. Would you mind if I sat over by the door?
Thompson glanced at Garin.
Major.
It was sitting right out in the open. I have to admit, it struck me as being a little odd. It would be so exposed if she was really trying to hide something.
What? You've never heard of hiding in plain sight? That's an old trick.
If you say so, sir. But I think she might be capable of a little more than we've thought so far.
Thompson frowned and put his pipe down. Then he leveled a finger at Anya.
You're going to open that laptop.
No, I'm not.
You are. If you don't, then...
Then what? You'll shoot me? On what grounds? You've got to remember that anything you do here will have a lot of repercussions. Even if you killed me, there would always be someone around who is willing to talk. Unless, of course, you're planning on killing everyone in the camp.
Open the laptop, Anya.
Oh, we're on first names now? That's not fair. I don't even know yours.
Thompson frowned and turned to one of his soldiers.
Get me someone from the demolitions team. We'll see how complex it'll be to disarm your laptop, Miss Creed.
Anya smiled and sat waiting. She'd gained herself a little time, but it would be over soon enough if the demolition guy saw through the charade. How could she make it more convincing? Anya racked her brain for any stories she'd heard about laptops being converted to bombs. The door opened and a man walked in.
Sir?
Sergeant Hawk, this woman has booby-trapped her laptop and is refusing to open it. I want it opened.
I'm assuming, sir, that you want the laptop intact as much as possible.
We need to access her hard drive. There's a file on there that we need to see.
Hawk bent over the laptop and then looked at Anya.
What'd you use?
Now, if I'm not telling him anything, then what makes you think that I would be any more forthcoming with you?
My sparkling personality?
Sorry.
Had to ask. Colonel, has it been moved?
I brought it in. It seemed safe enough.
Hawk nodded and moved the laptop around. He peered at it from a variety of angles.
You should know, Colonel, that my specialty, as with all of my team, lies with planting demolitions, not disarming them.
Yes, but you and your men can disarm what charges you've set, isn't that right?
Sure, but that's because we planted them. We know what we're dealing with. But this is someone else's work, and to be honest, it's a real risk. If I guess wrong, to think a blow.
You're telling me there's a good chance she's telling the truth?
Would she lie?
Of course she would. She's trying to protect herself and cover up the fact that she has one of my files on her laptop.
Look, sir, if I try to do this, then it's going to have to be on my terms, okay?
What do you need?
Everyone out, for starters. It's too dangerous for people to stay here while I work. If I screw up, then there will be some badly injured folks here.
Thompson frowned. He waved the two armed guards out.
You're dismissed. Major, you may also leave if you wish.
Actually, sir, I'd like to stay.
Very well. And you, Miss Creed, will stay as well. We'll see if there's any truth to your claims. When the sergeant cracks your laptop, the game will be up.
You might get injured in the blast. I made sure to pack a big wallop.
I take it you didn't put it in the battery compartment?
Now, Sergeant Hawk, what good would that do? All you'd have to do is turn it upside down, pop the cover, and take it out. Not much good in that, is there?
Like I said before, I have to ask.
Hawk went back to looking at the laptop, specifically where the lid latched to the bottom assembly. After several minutes, he shook his head.
I can't see anything there that would trigger a detonation.
So that means it's safe. Good. Go ahead and open it right now.
I didn't say that, sir.
Hawk stood up and stretched his back as he glanced at Thompson.
Fact is, she could have rigged any number of trip actions here, and I wouldn't know until they detonated. It's way too risky.
Sergeant, we're running out of time. I need some results here, and I need them now.
There's no way I can guarantee this isn't going to be messy when I pop the lid. There's plenty of metal and plastic here to turn into some nasty shrapnel. Any of us could be maimed or worse by an explosion in this confined area.
I think that is a risk we're going to have to take, Sergeant. You see, I don't believe that she has wired this laptop to explode. I don't believe it at all. I think it's a last-ditch effort to keep us from discovering that she was behind yesterday's hacker intrusion. She knows she's out of time and is playing this one last card in the hope we fall for it.
Hawk chewed his lip, doubt clouding his eyes.
If you want me to pop the lid, sir, I'll do it. But I really have to stress that I don't agree with this decision.
Your position is noted, Sergeant. However, I am hereby ordering you to proceed with opening the computer.
All right. But first things first.
Hawk pulled three flak jackets from his gear. He handed one to Thompson, one to Garin, and started to hand one to Anya.
She doesn't get one.
I'm not going to watch a civilian die because she wasn't given a flak jacket, sir.
She's being held on the charge of espionage, Sergeant.
Excuse me, sir, but she hasn't been tried yet, which makes her innocent until proved guilty.
Oh, very well. Give her the jacket and be done with it already. We're wasting time.
Hawk handed Anya the flak jacket, and she strapped it on.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hawk strapped his own on, and then looked at Thompson.
Last time I'll ask, sir. Are you sure you want to proceed?
Absolutely.
All right, then. Here we go.
Anya watched as he bent lower and re-examined the laptop from all angles. Then he eased back the lid release. The lid sprang up a millimeter, and everyone tensed. Anya was surprised at how involved she was in the situation, even though she knew there were no explosives inside. The tension in the room was incredible.
So far, so good.
He eased the lid up. Nothing happened.
There now, you see? I told you there was nothing inside that would explode. She's been lying the entire time. And now she finally has to accept...
Sir, we're not done here yet.
We're not?
No, sir. I still have to power it up. If she knows what she's doing, she could have rigged it to explode when the power is switched on.
Can you gain access to the interior of the computer without switching it on?
If I had the proper tools to do so, yeah. But this is a complicated piece of machinery. If I go poking in there and happen to trip something, it's as good as just switching it on.
Switch it on, then.
Sir?
Do it, Sergeant. I'm tired of this.
Hawk took a breath and pressed the power button. Again, it seemed as if everyone was holding their breath. But again, nothing happened.
There. Now it's been powered up and still no explosion. Would you go so far as to deem this computer safe for me to poke around in, Sergeant?
I don't know that I would, sir. But you seem determined to go rooting through there, so I don't know that anything I say would make a difference.
There are bigger things at stake here, Sergeant. You're dismissed.
Very good, sir.
Hawk started to leave and then turned back around.
If you can all return the flak jackets later on, I'd appreciate it.
Thompson waved him out. Only Anya and Garin remained with him in the office. Thompson leaned across the desk and grabbed the laptop.
Now then, I believe this is when the bell starts tolling for you, Anya.
Anya sat perfectly still, trying to quell her hammering heart.
I guess we'll see, Colonel.
She sensed that Garin had moved behind her.
Get away from me.
Thompson tapped keys and slid his fingers over the touchpad. After a minute of searching, his face suddenly lit up.
Here it is.
You found it?
The date stamp matches perfectly, and the title of the file hasn't even been changed.
Thompson looked over the top of the computer at Anya.
Any last words?
Boom?
Huh, too late for that, my dear.
He hit the enter key. The blast blew Anya backward in her chair, tumbling over onto the floor as bits of plastic and metal sprayed the air. She felt a pair of hands grab her from behind and drag her out the door into the cold darkness.
What the hell?
Shut up! Don't say anything and just do as I say. Is that going to be too much to ask?
No.
Good.
Garin looked around as soldiers came running. Hawk arrived first.
There's been an explosion. Check on the colonel.
What the hell happened?
I have no idea. The colonel clicked a file open and the damn thing blew itself up.
Damn it.
I don't know the extent of the damage in there, but it looked pretty bad.
Hawk hurried away to help with the recovery efforts. Garin kept a firm hand on Anya's shoulder.
Just keep quiet and everything will work out fine. Trust me.
Do I have a choice?
A medical team came running out of one of the nearby shelters. They hurried into the colonel's shelter. Garin waved two soldiers over.
You and you, watch her. Make sure she doesn't escape.
Garin strode toward the shelter and ducked through the blown door. Anya craned her head, trying to see what was going on inside. Anya shook her head. How much explosive had been in her laptop? Obviously, Garin knew something about it, and that probably meant that he had wired her system. The medical team emerged, carrying Thompson on an improvised litter. One of them was holding an intravenous bag high above him, as someone else was doing chest compressions. Hawk came out of the shelter and looked at Anya.
Jesus Christ, woman. How much explosive did you use in there? And why the hell weren't you or Major Braden injured by the blast?
Anya pressed her lips together firmly, figuring that if she kept mum, it would simply make her look all the worse. And until she knew what Garin was up to, she had to do as he said and play it the best she could. Hawk stared at her for a moment, then stalked away. A few seconds later, Garin emerged, pocketing something that Anya couldn't see. He waved the two guards off.
I'll take responsibility for her now.
The guards moved away, and Garin took Anya by the arm and steered her back toward his shelter.
What the hell is going on here?
Just wait until we get back where we can actually talk about this, all right?
Fine.
At his shelter, Garin held the door.
Inside.
Anya stepped in and found a place to sit down. Garin stepped in after her and nodded.
We may not have much time. Thompson was pretty badly injured by that blast, and he may not survive.
Well, why did you pack my laptop with that kind of explosive?
Anya, I didn't do it.
You didn't?
I have some basic knowledge of explosives, but I certainly didn't have the time or skills to rig your laptop. Whoever did that knew exactly what they were doing and had plenty of time to do it.
I thought you did it when you went to get my computer.
Your computer was lying on your bed. All I had to do was scoop it up and go.
It was on my bed?
As I said when I came back, not exactly hidden from sight. I thought it a bit weird.
I'll say.
Garin sat down opposite from her.
Look, Anya, let's be honest here, okay? If someone is going around wiring things to explode, then we should probably consider working together despite our past differences.
I'm not crazy about it.
Well, look at it from this perspective. If Thompson dies, you're a murderer. If he doesn't die, he's going to be incapacitated for a while. He might need an emergency evacuation out of here.
Wouldn't that leave you in charge?
Don't start celebrating just yet. I'll only be in charge until they do some checking back home and see that Major Braden died in an airplane crash late last year. And then you and I will both be persona non grata.
I guess that wouldn't be a good thing.
Not at all. So, tell me the truth. Did you have anything to do with the hacking of the communication system?
A guy I know, back in the States. He's quite good at penetrating government systems.
Apparently.
He was quick, and I thought he'd gotten away with it. And then, of course, you nailed me at breakfast today.
Sorry about that. I'm sure you understand the need to keep up appearances. If it hadn't been me, we might not have gotten any time to talk about things prior to Thompson giving you the once-over.
Not that it helped.
Well, you never know. At least we know we're both on the same team here.
Are we really? I mean, you're here telling me all of this, and I'm still finding it difficult to trust you.
I think that's because of our past.
Maybe. But you moved behind my chair right before the laptop exploded. What was that about? Did you know?
No, I didn't. But why didn't you know it was going to explode? Aren't your instincts more fine-tuned now on account of the sword?
Garin, I've got more questions now than I ever did before. The sword has done a lot for me, but it's also a loaded gun of sorts. Half the time I don't understand what I can do or what I'm capable of with the sword around. It's extremely frustrating.
You could always give it to me.
Not a chance.
So, there is some loyalty there after all. Interesting.
I'm loyal to what I believe the sword represents, helping thwart evil.
Listen to me. I retrieved the hard drive from your laptop back at Thompson's tent. What's on it you wanted so badly?
The lab analysis.
Of course. Do you really think this is all a fake?
I don't know. But I think it's odd he went to extraordinary lengths to keep me or anyone else from seeing it.
Garin pulled the singed hard drive from his pocket and handed it to her.
Well, here it is. If it still works, maybe you can hook it up somewhere. See if you can get access to that file after all. Thompson can hardly stop you now.
I don't have another computer. How can I get access to what's on here?
Garin walked to his bag and removed a case.
Here's another one. Go back to your shelter and get started on it. I'm not exactly happy there's something going on in this camp. It's upsetting my plans.
And what plans would those be exactly? I mean, now that we're on the same team and all?
If these relics are extraterrestrial, I want them. It's that simple.
You think there's something inherent in their properties that you can use?
Perhaps. But I do know that with my money and resources, I can get them examined faster than the bureaucrats in charge elsewhere. And if there's power to be had, then I want it for myself, yes.
Such a humanitarian.
Not a chance. I'm horribly selfish, I admit it. Now, get back to your shelter and stay there. If anyone stops you, tell them I said you're to stay in your shelter until I say it's okay to come out.
So I'm grounded?
Get to work, Anya. Lives just might depend on it.
Anya rose and turned for the door, then stopped. She looked back at Garin.
Say, something just occurred to me.
What's that?
When the laptop exploded, we weren't injured. Why not?
The blast blew us both back.
That was the concussion wave, though.
You think it was a shaped charge?
Maybe.
That would mean that the laptop was designed to injure only the person who triggered the blast.
Which would also mean the person we're looking for is even more skilled than we thought. Who was the target? Thompson? Or me?
Oh, this just keeps getting better.
Anya opened the door. As she did, one of the medical team's soldiers came in and saluted Garin.
What is it?
I'm sorry, sir. We did all we could. Colonel Thompson's dead.
Sitting on her bed, Anya looked around the shelter. Garin had informed everyone that she was allowed to move around the camp. His argument was simple. Where could she go in this environment? If she left camp, she would die from exposure. There was no way of knowing who had come in and rooted through her stuff, although apparently someone had. Anya looked down at the singed hard drive and wondered if the file would still be intact. There was only one way to find out. She placed the laptop that Garin had given her onto the small table nearby. Anya used the screwdriver blade on her Swiss Army knife to unscrew the back of the laptop case and gain access to the interior. She picked out the hard drive right away and unclipped the wires leading to it before reconnecting them to her hard drive. Once that was done, she closed everything back up and switched on the computer. Fortunately, it seemed to work. Anya had no clue how someone could wire explosives so that when a file was open, the laptop would explode but still keep the hard drive intact. To her, it seemed impossible. But then again, it wasn't the first time she'd wondered about stuff like this. Anya clicked open the various file directories and started looking for the file that Nightmare had stolen from Thompson's computer. She spotted the file name and clicked it open. A new screen blossomed into view, and Anya could see the letterhead from the laboratory where the Colonel had sent the necklace. She quickly scanned down the report and then saw what she needed to see. Object in question composed of aluminum and lead. Carbon dating estimates that the object was made in the past year. Anya frowned at the screen. There it was, proof that the relics weren't relics at all, nor were they from some far-off planet. They might have just as easily been made in someone's basement in Duluth. Who would go all this way and through all this trouble to create such a fraud? Obviously, Thompson knew about it. Was he behind this fraud? Now, the only source of answers was lying in an improvised morgue until his body could be transported back to McMurdo. Anya closed the file.
What the hell is going on here?
Garin came through the door.
Did you have any luck?
Sure did. The things we've dug up are fakes. They're made of aluminum and lead, not some otherworldly alloy. Someone is perpetrating a hoax of monumental proportions here.
But why? To what purpose?
My thoughts exactly.
You think Thompson was behind it?
I don't know. Part of me wants to say yes, but then again, maybe he stumbled upon this fraud and decided to let it play out so he could get to the bottom of it. What's the mood in camp?
Well, a lot of them want your head. Can't say I blame them. Thompson was the kind of officer who seemed to engender a lot of respect from his troops. Some of them have been with him for years.
Would that give him the time to plan something this elaborate?
I don't know. But if there's no value to the relics, then there's got to be something else of value here that we haven't looked at yet. After all, whoever is behind this apparently is willing to kill to protect it.
Scary thought.
At least you've got the sword to protect you.
Well, yeah, if my instincts are right.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm more than a little concerned that my gut didn't tell me that damned laptop was about to explode. I've been in plenty of hairy situations and known that trouble was coming.
All the time?
Well, maybe not all the time.
Maybe your instincts knew that the laptop was only going to take out the Colonel.
How is that possible?
Anya, how is you having a sword that once belonged to Joan of Arc possible? And how is it possible that you apparently carry it everywhere but aren't weighed down by it? How many other things in your life right now border on the unexplainable?
Plenty.
My advice is to make peace with that fact and just move on from there. We've obviously got a lot more to worry about right now.
You're right.
Who would have had access to your stuff?
Anyone. Our door has always been unlocked. But I suppose we would have to start with my roommates.
You've known Zack for a long time?
Long enough. I trust him, if that's what you're getting at. I've never had reason not to.
He's going through a bad time right now, yes?
Divorce, separation from his children. It's one of the reasons he took this job. He said the paycheck would enable him to get himself out from under a mountain of debt.
Would that be a motive?
Yeah, for what, though? So the relics aren't real. He'll probably be the one who's most devastated by that news. I think part of him dearly wants them to be real. It might restore his faith in the mysteries of life.
God, another dreamer.
You're just a 500-year-old cynic.
I am at that. Anyway, what about the other guy, Dave?
He's something of a mystery. He claims to be a geologist, but there's a part of him that seems to be anything but a scientist. I get the feeling he's worked in covert operations before.
He's a spy?
Maybe not a spy, but he's familiar with that area. I'm pretty sure of it.
So why is he here?
He told me his job was to look after Zack, help him out on the dig site, and make sure that things got on okay.
You believe him?
I don't know. I don't know why else he would be here, that's the thing. If we can figure out why there'd be such an interest in being down here, we could reverse-engineer the plot and find out who's in command. What about the mountain itself?
What about it?
Is there anything of value to it? I saw large chunks of coal, lots of fool's gold as well. Are there any other mineral deposits that could make someone rich?
Does it make sense for all this to be about a mountain of rocks? I just think there's got to be something else, something probably right in front of us. We just aren't seeing it.
So, what's our next step?
Garin unzipped his parka and sat down, running his hand through his hair.
All right. Let's assume for a moment that everything is proceeding according to whatever plan is in place. That means that someone wanted Thompson dead for some reason. I say we sit back and wait and see what happens next.
Yeah, but what if the next part of their plan involves killing everyone else who isn't in on it? Or Thompson wasn't the target?
Well, I'd suggest you be prepared to call forth your sword. I know I'll have my gun under my pillow.
What about my role as the terrorist? I can't very well stay in the shelter here and not get any food or water.
I'll pass the order that you're to be allowed access without harassment. I don't think anyone will mess around with you.
Anya rubbed her eyes. It wasn't a good plan, but it was the only plan that seemed open to them at the moment. And perhaps Garin was right. Maybe the people behind this would make their next move and reveal themselves when they did.
How much longer do you think your cover will hold up?
Thompson's last order was that the camp go into blackout mode. No communications in or out, so we're pretty isolated right now.
That could work to our favor.
For right now. But it could also work to the enemy's benefit as well. They'll know we don't have any help coming.
Great.
Our job is to keep our eyes and ears open and see who makes the first move. As soon as we see that, we'll need a plan of action.
How about stopping them from destroying the camp and everyone in it?
You're assuming that's their goal. It might not be. We need to keep ourselves open to the possibility that there could be something else at play here. Otherwise, we'll miss seeing it when it happens.
You're right.
Garin rose, re-zipped his parka, and headed to the door.
I should get going. People will expect me to be visible for the next few hours at least. Let me know immediately if you learn anything new.
Okay. Good luck.
You too.
Garin pushed his way out of the door, and Anya leaned back on her bed. She hated waiting, but Garin's plan seemed most logical, at least for right now. Zack and Dave rushed in. Zack was covered in dirt and grime. Dave looked less harsh for the day's work.
Are you okay? We just heard.
You don't look like you've been in a bomb blast.
Shaped charge, apparently. But I could have easily been killed. And given everything that's gone on so far this trip, I'm a little amazed I wasn't.
Well, we're glad you're okay.
Anya nodded. But inside, she wondered if that was true. The next couple of hours passed uneventfully. Anya could see that the camp was in a bit of turmoil, with a lot of soldiers wondering whether they should call in for help or stay where they were. Garin was quite visible, reassuring the soldiers that he had the situation well in hand. He played the part well, and Anya found herself admiring his leadership skills. She went to dinner with Zack and Dave. The mood in the mess hall was grim. Anya got a lot of nasty looks. It was all she could do not to stand on the table and scream her innocence. Garin sat with them toward the end of the meal, asked a few questions, and then left them alone. For his part, Zack still seemed convinced that there were more relics to be found in Horlick Mountain. Anya couldn't help but pity him as he went on and on about where he wanted to dig next. When he found out about the hoax, he was going to be devastated.
Anya, if the Major will let you come down with us, Dave and I were talking about trying a new spot tomorrow once the blasting is done.
I thought the blasting was scheduled for this morning.
Well, it was, until the Colonel ordered everything put on hold while he solved the mystery of who broke into the communication system yesterday.
Anya frowned at Dave.
So the other team hasn't broken through the granite yet?
Nope.
Do you know what they expect to find on the other side of that wall?
Apparently there's a cavern of sorts. Who knows, it could be like opening an extraterrestrial tomb of the pharaohs.
That would be an incredible find.
You don't seem convinced, Anya. Something bothering you?
Just everything. I'm happy for you guys, believe me, but it's hard to be upbeat when the entire camp wants my head stuck on the business end of a pike.
Well, for what it's worth, I don't think you killed Thompson.
Thanks, Dave.
So did you hack into the computer systems?
I wanted to see the report. What can I say? I'm stubborn when it comes to that kind of thing.
How did you do it?
Dave seemed to be concentrating on his mashed potatoes. He must have known they took his satellite phone. Was it better to deny it, or just get it out of the way?
I'm not proud of it, Dave, but I used your satellite phone.
I don't recall ever showing it to you.
I saw it when you were unpacking. Anyway, no one thinks you hacked the system.
Hey, at least we know we have a way out of here if it turns out this thing blows up in our faces. Bad choice of words, sorry.
Forget it. I'm ready to move on if you guys are. I just honestly want to get back to digging and finding these relics. It's been hard keeping my mind on it with everything else going on.
Well, that sounds good to me.
I'm sorry about your phone, Dave. I'll find out if it's still in operational shape.
It's okay. I'll check in with Major Braden after dinner. See if it was recovered from Thompson's shelter.
Send them the bill if it's not. That blast was powerful, and I'm not sure anything would have survived.
Well, you did.
By luck or chance or design, I don't know. It was pretty scary stuff. I don't know that I've ever been so close to an explosion like that.
Anya, I hate to bring this up, but I want to ask you something.
What?
Have you considered the possibility that the computer was supposed to kill you?
What do you mean, Zach?
What if the computer wasn't meant to be detonated by Thompson? What if it was supposed to explode when Anya clicked open the file? After all, the person who rigged it might have had no idea that Major Braden would grab it and take it to Colonel Thompson. I mean, Anya was the one who was presumably going to open the file and read it, right?
That was the plan, yeah.
Well, then...
He's got a pretty good point, Anya. You might want to look into getting some protection. If you take Zach's theory and apply it to the rest of your trip here, you seem to be marked.
You think?
I'm being serious. And not for nothing. But the people around you could be, too. Thompson might simply have been a case of mistaken identity.
Well, that tears it. Guess I'll go off to bed and hope I wake up in the morning.
Dave started to stand.
Anya.
No, you guys stay here and enjoy dessert. I'm out of here. Maybe I'll check in with Major Braden and make sure it's okay to sleep tonight.
Anya ignored the dagger glares from the other tables and pushed out into the Antarctic night.